So today's talk is titled Ambition That God Honors. Ambition That God Honors. And so we actually are going to jump right into the story. We're going to talk about what we see in the story, and then later on I'll share a little bit of what this means for us. You know, I've been spending some time just praying and thinking about this upcoming year. And God's really been bringing the story of Jabez to my heart. And this is actually something that I was exposed to, not exposed to, because it's always in the Bible, right? But the story actually became very popular like in the early 2000s. So like 2000, 2001, there was a book that was published called The Prayer of Jabez. And it became really popular, especially amongst the evangelical circles. But not only did it become popular, it was somewhat controversial because a lot of people were objecting to this reality, I guess, that the book, maybe in certain lights or in certain ways, was portraying this prayer of Jabez as, you know, like if you just keep repeating this prayer in your life, then God is going to bless you and you're going to have success in everything that you ask of God. But as I've been praying for this upcoming year, the theme that we're going to be engaging in as a church, God just really been bringing this verse back to my heart. And so I want to explore this with us and see what we can glean from God's word together today, okay? All right, so starting from verse 9. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Let's stop there. So let's talk about the circumstances. Let's talk about his circumstances. I mean, this is a very unusual story because when you read through the book of Chronicles, so it's really 1 Chronicles, it's a tough read, right? And the reason why it's a tough read is because it's just a list of names of a bunch of dudes that we have no idea who they are because they're so far removed from our history, right? But then when you begin to read through chapter 4, you see name, and then all of a sudden the writer stops at the history of Jabez and he actually mentions more than just his name. Now, the circumstance behind the story is it was actually a very difficult period of time for the people of God. By this time, Israel was divided into two separate nations. So you have the kingdom of Israel, and then you have the kingdom of Judah. And they were actually exiled from the promised land because of their disobedience. So they experienced God's punishment for their disobedience, and God was slowly bringing back the remnants of his people into the promised land. So it was a very difficult time in the history of God's people. And not only was it a difficult time in the history of God's people, but we can actually conclude from the story that it was probably a very difficult time for Jabez and his family as well, right? You know that you're in big trouble if your mom names you pain, like I have borne him in pain. And she doesn't necessarily mean like pain as in, you know, the regular pains of childbirth. Obviously, there was something more that was going on. Now, we don't know exactly what was happening to his family because they don't necessarily go into the specific details. But his name, which literally means he makes sorrowful. That's what it literally means in Hebrew. He makes sorrowful. It's probably a good indicator that things were not going well. And so you think about, man, how messed up is her situation where she actually names her son things are not sorrowful. So that every time she says, things are not sorrowful, it's dinner time, she was reminded of the difficulties and the trials that they were experiencing. But when you think about the story, the amazing thing for me here is that despite his circumstances, we are told that Jabez is described as a man who was more honorable than his brothers. The literal translation means that he was more honored than his brothers, that he received more honor from others. So in other words, others recognize Jabez as someone who was worthy of that attention and that honor. And I think it's really speaking to us about his character, right? So that's his circumstance. So let's go ahead and take a look at his request. And this is what we read in verse 10. It says, Jabez called upon God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain and God granted what he asked. Now, we need to think about what Jabez is asking of God here, right? Because it seems like what Jabez is praying to God is that God will bless him, that God will make him wealthy, that God is going to make him influential, God's going to make him powerful, right? Enlarge my borders. Your hand might be upon me. The hand of God upon someone was a sign of God favoring that person. Border, you think about land and what it represented in his days. It represented a person's wealth, their influence, their power. And so on top of that, the cherry on top was not only God make me wealthy, but also make me healthy, right? Keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. Sounds like something that we might actually ask of God in our days. But when you think about what he's asking God, is that what he is really asking of God? Is he really asking that God would make him wealthy and powerful and influential and healthy? Because obviously, we see the end result, which is God granting this man's request. But if we know anything about God and his word, we know that prayers that are lifted up, that are self-centered, for their own benefit, we know that God doesn't answer those types of requests. So there must be something else going on. And not only that, but there's also this fact that Jabez is mentioned as being more honored than others. And I'm guessing what the writer is referring to is not that Jabez was somehow the shrewd businessman, right? That he wasn't cunning. It's not referring to the fact that he was more intelligent or he was just more driven. He was this go-get-em kind of type. He was a self-made Israelite. I almost said American. I'm thinking it pertained more to his character. Character of integrity and honesty and compassion. That others recognized in his character that he was worthy of honor. And so you put two and two together, and I think what Jabez was asking of God was this. He was asking of God for the privilege of fulfilling God's purpose in his generation. I think actually that's the prayer request that Jabez was lifting up to God here. So when Jabez is asking that God would bless him and enlarge his borders, we know that this is a very bold prayer that Jabez is lifting up to God because it is God himself who allots the different lands to the various families within the tribe of Israel. So the land that Jabez received, that was already set by God himself. And so not only does this land represent God's provision and his blessing, but when you think about it, this land also represents God's purpose for his people, right? Because it was through the blessings of God that the people of Israel that they were called to be a blessing to others. And that was exactly the promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. When God tells Abraham to go to the land, and it was in that land that God was going to bless him, and it was in that land that God was going to use him to be a blessing to the others. And so not only this blessing that he asks to enlarge his border, Jabez, he also asks that God would keep him from harm so that he might not experience pain. And when you think about it, I mean, I suppose it could be his desire that he doesn't want to experience pain, right? I mean, if we had a choice between living a pain-free life versus experiencing pain, I think many of us would choose to live a pain-free life. But then also we recognize that in this fallen world that there is no way that we could possibly live our lives pain-free. Sooner or later, you're going to experience pain. Maybe the pain of a loss of a loved one. There's no way that God can completely isolate this man from pain. And so I don't think it's Jabez asking God to take him away from the pains of life. But rather, I think it's Jabez asking God not to let his destiny be driven by his circumstances, but by God himself. Because when you think about the story of Jabez, it would have been so easy for him to have been driven towards this destiny of pain and misery and failure, because that's what he was born into. Right? He could have so easily had this victim mentality of saying, you know what, I was born into this situation and circumstance, and it's the situation and that circumstance drove me on this path of destruction. And I think what Jabez is praying there is simply, God, don't let my circumstances determine my destiny. But he's asking God to let the promises of God determine his destiny. And so that through God, that Jabez will be able to fulfill his purposes for his life. And I think that's the kind of ambition that ultimately God honors, right? Now listen to what Dr. Ian, I'm going to butcher his last name, Dr. Ian Duguid, I think that's how you pronounce it. He's a professor of Old Testament, Westminster Theological Seminary. This is what he writes about Jabez. He says, and I quote, "The point is not that Jabez's prayer has some kind of magic power in its words. The point is that Jabez's God has awesome power to change a person's destination from curse to blessing," unquote. Right? The whole point about this prayer that this man is lifting up is not so that we can adopt it into our own prayer lives, so that it becomes a mantra, so that we're trying to get the success and wealth and health from God. But the whole point of the story is to point us to how awesome God is, that despite our circumstances, that God is able to change our destiny from curse to blessing. And that was really Jabez's ambition. He's praying, God, despite my circumstances and the obstacles, right? How many of us have been trapped in that situation where we're thinking, because of my circumstances or because of my lack of experience or because of my lack of abilities, maybe God will not be able to use me in this way, or maybe I will not be able to thrive in this setting? But he's praying, God, despite my circumstances and obstacles, fulfill your destiny, fulfill your purposes. And he's saying, bless me so that I will be a blessing. I think that's what he was praying. And because that's what he was praying, I believe that God honored his request. And so let's close out with this. So what is our application from this story? What's our application? So the reason why I wanted to share this simple story with us this afternoon is because I believe that God is wanting to challenge us to cultivate in us this upcoming year. He's wanting to cultivate our ambition. He's going to challenge us to say, can you be ambitious for my kingdom? Wanting to cultivate ambition in us that will ultimately honor him. Because when I think about his story, I mean, it's really a story of someone who is ambitious, right? It's a story of someone who says, I know that I was born into specific circumstances that others might find as limiting and constraining. But he says, I'm not going to let those circumstances dictate my destiny. Rather, he says, I am going to reach for something that is far greater, to be blessed by God, for God to enlarge my borders, to overcome the shackles of pain and misery that I was born into. His ambition was to reach for God himself. And he's saying, literally, God, don't pass me by, but fulfill your purposes for my life. It's this ambition that cries out, God, empower me to fulfill your destiny in me. And something about that rings so true in my heart, that God is wanting to move in our hearts and in our lives, to challenge us, to place this ambition in our hearts where we cry out, God, do not pass me by, but fulfill your purposes for my life. That I'm going to reach for something that is greater than what my circumstances dictates. That ultimately, that I'm going to reach for you. You know, I struggle in the beginning of every season with this question of why are we doing the things that we're doing, right? Why are we so passionate about reaching students and wanting to make a difference in our city? Like, why are we so passionate about things like missional initiatives and sending out students on missions? And many of us know that we're praying about possibly changing our Sunday locations and looking into different options and a bigger venue so that we can continue to grow and so forth. And really the thing that I'm wrestling with in my own heart is, where is this ambition coming from? Because growth is good. But what is the ambition that is driving us to work so hard and to sacrifice? When I think about our students that are coming back early, when I think about our focus members actually participating to bless our students, and the question I think that we have to wrestle with simply is this question of God, are you honored through our ambition? And because you are honored, God, would you honor our ambitions? Would you honor our ambition of reaching this campus? Would you honor our ambition of believing by faith that every time we step foot on this campus and engage in conversations with a new student, that that's going to be open doors? God, would you honor our ambition of seeing our workplace as our missions field? That as we begin to share the testimony of Jesus, that it's going to be your Holy Spirit that will be at work in the hearts and the lives of people. That even if I meet resistance and there's a price to be paid, would you honor this ambition of making Christ known? Because I don't think any of us would want to settle for small dreams, right? That's why you guys are here. I don't want to throw up my hands in the air and simply say, you know what, we've been dealt this card, so what can we do? But on the other hand, I don't want to just dream for big dreams because I want to experience success. And I just really feel like God is saying, breathe my ambitions into your heart. And what this story reminds us, the story of Jabez, is simply that the ambition that God honors is an ambition that declares in Habakkuk 3:2, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in all of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our days. In our time, make them known in wrath. Remember mercy. Right? What Habakkuk is declaring is, God, not only have I heard of your fame, not only do I stand in all of who you are, but in all of your glory, but what Habakkuk is asking of God is, God, repeat them in my day. God, don't let them be the stories of the past of our forefathers. But in the ways that you have used our forefathers, to declare your fame and your deeds. God, repeat them in our day. I was thinking, God answered Jabez's prayer. And what would it look like for God to answer our prayer of, God, empower us to fulfill your destiny in our generation? What would it look like for God to answer the prayer of, God, make your fame and your deed be heard in our day, on our campus, in our workplaces? What would that look like? Because what we are not aiming for is, God, help us to be pain-free. You know, there was an article that I was reading yesterday, and it actually distracted me a lot from trying to prepare for the sermon, because it was talking about, there was a famous pastor back in, maybe the early 2000s, wrote a couple of books on like Christian dating and so forth, really came into prominence. But recently I found out he actually is not only getting a divorce from his wife, but he actually on Twitter, I believe, announced that he is no, or I think it's on Instagram, announced that he's no longer a Christian. And this was such a shock to the evangelical community, right? Because he was a pastor of this huge mega church in Washington, D.C. area. And all these people were writing about what happened and what we can learn from it and so forth. And I was just so shocked. And one of the articles that I was reading, well-respected president of a Christian seminary, he was saying how we have to teach and exhort the members in our church that when we declare, God, use us to declare your fame and your glory, that it's not going to look like the story of Jabez in the sense that we're going to escape pain and suffering. That in fact, that's what's waiting for us. We live in a day and a culture where it's becoming harder, right, to profess this Christian faith, to stand for certain beliefs that we believe that are the truth that the Bible teaches, whether it's sexual ethics, whether it's certain stances that we make, whether it's our perspective of who Jesus is and what he claims. It's becoming harder and harder. And so when I think about this prayer that Jabez is lifting up, it's not just, God, elevate us and make us influential, that through somehow our influence that we're going to win the world over, because the world is just going to get more and more hostile to the truth and the reality of who Jesus is. And I, as I was kind of reflecting and praying through, I think God reminded me that this is, it's going to look like John 13, right? John 13 is the story, and I'm going to close out with this. It's the story that many of us are familiar with. It's the story of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. And after washing their feet, this is what Jesus says in verses 12 through 17. He says this: when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed this place, his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Jesus says, you are blessed if you wash the feet of others and serve them as Jesus served us. Right? I think it's amazing that Jabez prays, God, bless me so that I will be a blessing to those around me. And Jesus reminds us what it means to be someone who is blessed is someone who engages in the washing of the feet of others. And so when you think about washing others' feet, first of all, it's not easy. It's a job that no one wants, even now. Because I was imagining, like, maybe we'll do a demonstrate. I'll call one of the leaders. But I'm like, I don't want to touch their feet. That's disgusting. But I think ultimately what Jesus is pointing to is the cost involved. The cost involved, the personal cost involved in serving others, in loving others, even when they reject you, even when they hate you, even when they think that you are bigoted, even when they think that you are narrow-minded, even when they think that you are backwards for believing in God's truth. Jesus says what it means to be someone who is blessed is someone who is willing to wash the feet of others. And as we wash and serve others, I think God is saying that's how I will demonstrate my fame and my glory. And really, the challenge I believe that God is giving us is simply this, that the ambition that God wants to breathe in us, the ambition that he will honor, is an ambition that cries out, God, help me to serve and love and wash the feet of others. It's, God, help me to be a servant. And I think that's really the core essence of Jabez's prayer when he says, God, bless me to bless others. And Jesus reminds us that you are blessed if you serve and love, if you are willing to get low and do what no one else is willing to do, to wash the feet of others. Let me close with this. So Dr. Ian, I'm not going to say his last name. I'm going to butcher it again. He continues to write about Jabez. And this is a longer quote, but I think this is so good. So I'm going to go and read this for us, okay? And then we'll close out. He says this, and I quote, "But we haven't finished with Jabez until we see the contrast that his experience poses to that of another descendant of Judah many centuries later. This man's name means salvation. And he also prayed to his father to deliver him from the cup of pain and woe that was set in front of him. Cursed was not the destination that this descendant of Judah had been born into. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who certainly deserved to be honored above all his brothers. But the father in his grace declined to let the cup of pain and woe pass from Jesus. Christ had no evil for which he should experience pain, yet he was cut off for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He had no offspring, no earthly inheritance, no children, no house, no possessions. But he is indeed now more honored than all his brethren. He has a glorious eternal inheritance, brothers and sisters whom he is not ashamed to call his people. His boundaries have been enlarged to bring in men and women into his kingdom from north, south, east, and west. Of his glory, there shall be no end. So you should certainly pray like Jabez did, trusting God to transform our native curse into a blessing. But we are to pray remembering God's promise to conform us to the life of Jesus, whose way to blessing runs through the path of surrendering, of suffering first, glory later. We can pray in his name knowing that he is even now praying for us in heaven. The Father will certainly not decline his request. Jesus will receive all the nations of the earth as his inheritance," unquote. Let's stand together. Did you catch what Dr. Yin was saying there? That this prayer of God, use me, bless me, overcome my circumstances and this curse that we were born into. Speak your blessings over me. God, fulfill your destiny in me. That prayer that we are lifting up to God ultimately is a prayer that says, God, make me more like Jesus. And when we lift up that prayer, when we are driven by that ambition to say, I want to be like my teacher, I want to be like my master, I want to be like my Savior, Father, make me more like Jesus. I can guarantee if you make that the ambition of your life, how your testimony will end. Your testimony will end like the testimony of Jabez, where it will be declared of you, and God granted his request, and God granted her request. It's the ambition to be a blessing, so that as we steward God's blessings, that just like Jesus, we can go forth, that we can love and we can serve, even when we are mocked, even when we are laughed at, even when we are rejected. That if we make that our ambition this upcoming year as a church, the reason why we are so passionate about Campus Missions Week and reaching this campus is because we are driven by this ambition of, we want to wash people's feet. The reason why we are so passionate about reaching the unreached, the unchurched, and the unloved is because we want to wash their feet and serve them. The reason why we are so passionate about raising up single adults and married couples and sending you out into our city as the hands and the feet of Christ is because we want to serve at a personal cost, to wash the feet of those who might reject us and hate us. The reason why we are praying through possibly switching locations for our Sunday celebration and going to a bigger venue, it's not so that we can add to our church and say, look how we've grown, but it's because if we are driven by this ambition, God, send people our way so that we can wash their feet, so that we can love them. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, that as we serve them, that you will transform their lives. Then God tells us in his word that he will honor our ambitions. He doesn't say that it's going to be easy. He doesn't say that it's going to be a pain-free life. He doesn't say that there isn't going to be a cost that you're going to have to pay. But God says, I will honor that ambitious request to say, God, send us out so that we can wash the feet of those around us. And I think the question that we have to wrestle with is, will we be trapped in our circumstances? Right? Think about the circumstances that we are in right now. The circumstances, the only reason why you're here at UT is to get that degree and to get that job and to establish this comfortable, safe, secure life. Or this circumstance of you don't want to rock the boat. Circumstance of the world shaping our values and our hearts, our passions and our desires. But will we dare to be like Jabez that cries out to God? And will we dare to pray, God, don't let my circumstances shape my destiny. But God, bless me. But God, enlarge my borders. God, yes, even though I was born into pain and misery, I was born into these circumstances, but don't let those circumstances dictate my destiny. But I'm reaching for you, God. Reaching for your heart. I'm reaching to be blessed so that I can be a blessing to those around us. And I guarantee you, church, I guarantee you that if we are driven by that kind of ambition, why would God not honor our request? So let's pray. Let's pray. And I think for many of us, it really has to start by the Holy Spirit of God working in our hearts to bring the reality of God's word into our lives so that we don't settle. We don't settle for our circumstances. We have to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to breathe in us this holy discontentment so that we reach above our circumstances and we reach out to God Himself. And as we do that, I believe that God is going to work. His Word and His Spirit, He's going to shape us, so that our lives will be more and more of a life that is reflecting the reality of who Christ is. And so let's pray for that. Let's pray, Holy Spirit, speak your ambitions into our hearts and our lives, and make that true of us. And honor us, God, so that you will be honored through our ambitions and our desires. So before we take the Lord's communion, can we pray through that together? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak. Let's pray a little bit. Let's pray together, church.